Exactly 6:40, Monday morning, house call time. It's Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, Doc. How you doing today?
Good morning, Bob. Doing great for a beautiful Monday morning.
How about that? You know what? We've been reporting on the numbers here in Illinois, and the state's seven-day positivity rate fell 2 points from Saturday to 10.1%, which continues an improvement from the 12.8%, which was the highest that number had been since May. I know you look at hospitalizations, though, so how are we doing around here?
We're doing okay. We're not doing fantastic, but we're doing okay. We still have beds. We still have plenty of ICU beds. We have not come remotely close to any PPE shortages. So overall, we're doing pretty good, and we just kind of keep our fingers crossed and hope that this trend continues, although we kind of have some hesitancy as to whether to jump on that bandwagon right now.
Right. I was reading this story about about microbes and some expert saying that while we're sterilizing everything to protect ourselves right now, by not exposing ourselves to germs, we're actually weakening our body's own natural defenses to everyday threats. Are we compromising our immune system in some way by doing this?
Well, short term, possibly. I mean, if you look at young kids that normally would be exposed to a lot of different things right now, and we've really isolated them so that they're not. So their immune system against other illnesses is not building up as rapidly as we would hope. But again, it's short term. This portion of it is a sprint, and we'll still get back. Believe me, the viruses and the bacteria are still out there. They're still surviving. But certainly, we like to make sure our immune system is as strong as it can be, and especially against things that we're going to see commonly.
I know you're up on all the latest research, and unlike most of us who just hear the headlines, you go deeper into these studies. How likely is it to get the virus from a surface, or if the virus gets on our hands? What is the latest research showing us about that?
Yeah, the latest research is showing us really now, with everybody so in tune to washing their hands, not shaking hands with individuals, wearing a mask, it is so much lower. If you remember, we were talking about this, about how long it would live on surfaces at the beginning of the infection, in February, in March, because the study was done very early. At that time, we were still kind of, well, let's wash our hands, but we were still gathering socially. We were still being around each other. We were still, you know, not doing all the things we're doing now. So when we do contact tracing now, 99% of these are coming from other individuals, you know, so a very low percentage. We can't figure out where it came from, and in those cases, it may have come from a contact. But, yeah, you have to remember, one, the virus has to be on that surface. Two, you have to touch it. And then three, you have to touch your face or your nose or your mouth within a fairly short period of time. So it's that perfect storm now. And if people are wearing their masks and washing their hands, the incidence of getting it from a surface is minuscule.
So really, we have to be more concerned with other people than surfaces.
100%.
While we're mentioning studies and all the research, someone texted us, and this is a good question. Could you ask Dr. Most where people can go if they want to be part of any research study? My wife and I would gladly be willing to volunteer.
Yeah, so a lot of research studies going on across the country. Here in Chicago, Northwestern has some going. Rush definitely has some going. I'm not certain about U of C. And the research studies are all over the board. I mean, we're still doing vaccine studies, so we're still enrolling people in vaccine studies. We're also, one that we're really looking at now is the antibody studies. So yes, I had COVID, and now I tested for my antibodies, and then we continue to test to see, because it's that question that you ask over and over, how long does immunity last? Mm-hmm. That's a big study that's going on right now. And then we're also looking at contagiousness and the spread. So there's a lot of studies, and you can go on to nm.org, that's Northwestern's, and look for the studies that they're involved in. We are involved in a lot of drug studies as well. So what medications might actually help people with this illness? There's a lot more than just the simple remdesivir and dexamethasone that we're hearing about.
It's all relatively new, so much that we still don't know, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're learning every day, and it's absolutely fascinating, you know, what we're finding out and how fast everything is going. I mean, think about this. It used to take us years to make a vaccine. And here we are in 10 months, we have a vaccine that we're ready to mm-hmm. you know, start vaccinating people probably within the next 10 days.
In the news this morning, Rudy Giuliani tested positive. What more do we know about this? Anything?
Yeah, unfortunate, but not unexpected if you look at his activities and how he is you know, behaved, I guess I'll say, in the last couple of weeks. He is hospitalized. That might have been over, you know, abundance of caution. But certainly, I think the biggest concern now with him is now to start doing the contact tracing. He has been in many public settings without a mask over the past couple of days when he would have been at the height of his infectious period. So a lot of contact tracing, a lot of concern here. Now, I don't know what his health is, but certainly just from an age point of view, places him in a vulnerable population, because if I'm not mistaken, he's 76 years old. So concern for his health as well.
Talking with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. If you watched CBS Sunday Morning, there was a very interesting story about testing and a self-testing kit, something you could do easily, quickly, and accurately at home. Is this anywhere in our future, I hope, Dr. Most?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's here now, Bob. There's 9 companies that have been approved by the FDA to do in-home testing for COVID. And you say, well, gosh, how do they do that? Because you see these people doing these swabs, and I can't understand how an individual could do that to themselves. And the tests that they're doing are actually just simple nasal swabs or saliva, so the individual can collect the specimen properly. Are they getting popular? Absolutely. Are they a little pricey? Well, yeah. I mean, most of them run well over $100, some close to $200. You know, it's kind of like, do I want to wait in line or do I want to do this? So, you know, everyone has to understand that the county and state tests that we're doing are free of charge. But if you look at LA County, what they're doing is saying they're going to test everybody who wants to be tested between now and January 15th. Obviously, California getting hit very hard, but they can request a kit. It'll be sent to them in 2 days. Complete the test, send it back, and they'll have the results within 5 days, which is better than some of the turnaround time we're seeing with the normal collections.
Yeah, I was reading about the University of Illinois. They've performed 1 million tests on their 3 campuses. They have that saliva
yep.
test. They've really been doing an outstanding job, and they've been early with this, haven't they?
Absolutely, and they were. They were extremely early doing it, and a lot of people have not only copied the testing material or the test that they've done, because it's what we call open source, so anybody can build that test. There's not a patent on it, which has been great and great for mankind as well. But U of I really has done it right. You know, they're testing everybody, each of their students, 2 times a week. So when they were coming home for Thanksgiving, anybody from U of I had a really good idea as to whether or not they were positive. Where many other kids coming home from colleges that hadn't been doing frequent testing were coming home blindly. So U of I will continue to do the same. Kids are back in school. They'll be coming home soon for winter or winter break. They will be testing them again every 2 weeks. So it's allowed them, and it may be one of the reasons why you're starting to see a little bit lower numbers in Chicago, that U of I number has been very well controlled, and they know what their students are, how they stand.
Yep, good point. That is affecting perhaps numbers throughout the whole state, because you've got 3 campuses, and those positivity rates are way down and well below what the numbers have been, for example, in the city of Chicago, right?
Exactly. I mean, some of the bumps that we were all considering nationwide were because you had this group of college kids that had been, you know, interacting with each other and then coming back to the environment. So certainly we had a lot of travel, a lot of, you know, families traveling, but certainly we also had this young group that we know has been in the summer at least, was, you know, a big concern for spread. Those coming home that have been tested, though, at least there's that reassurance that they were negative when they got home.
One of the questions we keep getting from listeners, how long are you contagious after you have symptoms?
Yeah. So if you think about this illness, it has the full spectrum, right? So we know that there's probably 20%, maybe even more, that are asymptomatic. They're going to spread it, but we are never going to know. Those people who get mild to moderate symptoms, you know, I got a little bit of a cough, I have a little bit of body aches, I really don't feel well. Those people, about 10 days after symptoms, they will not be contagious. They will have been contagious 2 to 5 days before they got symptoms. So if you look at it, it's about a 2-week period for those who are mild to moderate. Now, those who are severe and critical that we're putting in the hospital, they are contagious much longer, probably closer to 25 days. But those in the general public who have mild to moderate symptoms, they're going to be about 15 days and complete. About 10 days after the symptoms start, they will not be contagious.
You know, people have been wisely putting off large gatherings, and now they're starting to think, can I plan a wedding or some other event for a large group of people for next year? Do you and your medical insiders, your colleagues, think that it's going to be spring where that's going to be okay, or later?
It's going to be later. You know, if you look at the vaccination protocols that we're going to follow, as well as vaccine production, we will really start a broad-based vaccination process for the general public in May or June. And then if you think about it, you get one shot 20 to 28 days later, you get that second shot, immunity probably another 10 days after that. So it's about a 35-40 day period from when you get your first shot to immunity. So that's probably going to get us into July by the time we get enough people vaccinated that we start to feel that we're approaching herd immunity status.
Dr. Kevin Most, thanks as always, Doc. Really look forward to our Monday house call. And, of course, we will remember the tips to stay healthy, wash your hands, keep social distance, wear masks, and do not watch any more Bears games, right?
That's absolutely right.
Stay healthy.
Take care, Bob.
Talk to you next week.